I am not done reveling, no, in what we have in our presentation before Christ, when we are presented before the dais of Christ. I'm not done with that yet. I'm going to get to these folks at the Great White Throne because that is our topic of study in the Book of the Unveiling. And after all, this is a series on the Book of the Unveiling. But I told you that I would never let you forget our expectation. And I don't want anyone going to the Great White Throne in Revelation chapter 20, imagining that that is your destiny. The only capacity in which you will serve at the Great White Throne is as one of the judges. And here is our panel of esteemed judges. Yes, we will be the esteemed judges, and our judgment will be right, and it will be righteous because it will be coming via the mind of Christ and the hand of God. Good morning, everyone. Martin Zender, closing out the week, I'm going to talk to you about the applause that we are each going to receive from God. Imagine a presentation before a universal audience. And if you think the Great White Throne is going to be a big deal, and it is, all the dead who ever lived, who are not believers, which is a lot of people, standing before God, that's a lot of people. The notable and the obscure will both be standing at the Great White Throne. That's a huge event. But the next big event in God's calendar is not that. That takes place at the end of the 1,000 years before the new heavens and the new earth. That's at least 1,000 years away. The next great event on God's calendar is the snatching away of the body of Christ and our presentation. There's going to be a ceremony. You're going to be dressed up for this. You're going to have immortal bodies. And we will finally be presented to the universe as what we truly are. All the anonymity will come off of us. The veil will be lifted, finally. And our glory and our light will shine. Right now, we just have that in a small little itty-bitty measure. It's enough to keep us going most days. Some days, not so much. But we have it in measure. But it's this same germ of spirit in us that is going to take over our entire bodies, and our bodies won't be able to contain the glory, and so they will transform. And God is so proud of us, and he's so happy about what we've endured here and how we've been good boys and girls. I'm not talking about perfect boys and girls, but we've been good boys and girls, because if you're listening to my voice, you're still alive. You haven't killed yourself, have you? Congratulations. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, we who are surviving to the presence of the Lord. Sometimes that's as good as it gets. Old Jack Nicholson. What if this is as good as it gets? I know, I can't do Nicholson, but that's the best I could do today. You're surviving. You haven't killed yourself. God is so proud of us. We've learned so many things. You don't even know how many things you've learned. You can't keep track of it all. Your life has taught you many things. And you say, but Martin, I'm just a blob. Okay, but you're a humble blob. What blob isn't humble? If you're claiming to be a blob, then you're humble. You've learned a lot of things. I'm just a blob. Okay, way to go. Way to go. You're God's blob. And you know what? God's going to take your blob and he is going to glorify it, because in you is a measure of the Spirit of God. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is talking about himself and Apollos, other fellow laborers in Christ. Some may say that this passage I'm about to read to you applies only to teachers or to people who work in the Word. That could be. I'm not disturbed by that, because I'm going to read this and I'm going to apply it legally. I'm going to legally apply this to all of us in the body of Christ, as Paul eventually does. I think you'll see what I'm saying. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Verse 10. According to the grace of God, Paul speaking, which is being granted to me as a wise foreman, I lay a foundation. Yet another is building on it. What's the foundation Paul laid? He was the bringer of this gospel. He laid the foundation. He got it directly from Jesus Christ. He put it in print. Now we have it. Yet another is building on it. I'm one of those people building on it. I'm building on what Paul founded, given to him by Christ. Yes, I'm a builder. And you're a builder too. If you share this truth, you're passing it along. Yet let each one beware how he is building on it. Beware, it sounds like something you want to do on Christmas Eve before Santa Claus comes. You better watch out. Better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. But beware. This is not the beware of the law. This is not the beware of obey or die. This is the beware of simply be attentive to what you are doing. Because if you're running for a prize, you have to compete lawfully. For other foundation can no one lay beside that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ lays a foundation. It may seem Paul's contradicting himself. He says, no one can lay any other foundation except which is Jesus Christ. And yet he says, I, as a wise foreman, lay a foundation. It's the absolute and relative. Christ lays it down. Absolutely, Paul becomes a dispenser of it, working with the same mind as Christ. Because we have the mind of Christ. We do, in measure. Now, if anyone is building on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or, on the other hand, wood, grass, straw, each one's work will become apparent. And that's the day I'm speaking of. Each one's work will become apparent. Just as the great white throne, the lives of those standing before that throne become apparent, that's for unbelievers. We have our own display. We have our own display where our lives will be made apparent. And it's not a thing to fear. It's a thing to laugh at. You must laugh at it. You must be expectant and bubbly and giddy about this. For the day will make it evident. I think this is what we want. You know, there's sometimes I just don't know what's wrong with me. I mean, some days I'm depressed and upset. I'm trying to figure out, is it because I started drinking coffee again? Is it because I'm not getting enough sun, even though I live in South Florida? Is it because I'm eating the wrong thing? Should I be taking a mega vitamin? What's the problem? And so I want these things to be made evident so I can fix them. But sometimes, you know, you just can't put your finger on what's happening, and you want it to be evident. And it's like, well, could my work be doing more? Could I be doing more in my work? Why did I get upset at that person? I wish I knew. Guess what? It's all going to be evident. And you're going to be like, yes, bring the spotlight. I want the spotlight. When the spotlight shines on my life, the roaches aren't going to scatter. The roaches are going to come out and open their arms and bask in it. And the roaches are going to say, play the film. I want to see the film of my life. I want it there. I want to see it. Other people are going to be watching it. I don't care. Bring anything in the shadows, bring it out. This is going to be great for us. For it is being revealed by fire. Oosh. Oh, fire. Well, let me think. Let me rethink everything I just said. Just kidding. That's fine. You know what? Just last night, there was a group of us. We got together and we sat by a fire. And, you know, people are scared of fire. And I was sitting there being warmed by the fire. And I thought there's really a fine line between being warmed by this fire and then getting close enough to be scorched by the fire. And I love heat. So, you know, even here in South Florida, I said to some people, I said, you notice who's the closest to the fire? Zender. Zender's the closest one to the fire. I'm the guy that likes to be hot, you know. But then I realized, what would it be like to be burned at the stake? This was a pleasant thought I had at this little party. So I didn't share that with anyone. I'm staring at the fire thinking, oh, yeah, that would hurt. That would reveal a lot. But this is the fire we're speaking of here. This is a figurative fire. This is the fire of God. This is the fire, the consuming fire of God that will consume all the dross. I've heard this analogy, and in some ways I don't like it because people apply it to fire when it should be literal. But literal fire does purify things. This is not the function of the lake of fire for human beings, which is why I want to be careful here. But fire will dissolve all the foreign elements and reveal a pure substance. For instance, gold. We all know this. Gold is refined. They put it in a hot fire. Why are you torturing the gold? No, we're not torturing the gold. We're delivering it of its impurities, and all the impurities are burned away. So the fire of God will be testing each one's work, what kind it is. And I'm in verse 14 now, 1 Corinthians 3. If anyone's work will be remaining, which he builds on it, or he or she will get wages. If anyone's work shall be burned up, he or she will forfeit it, yet will be saved as through fire. Great, forfeit it. So I did a crappy work, the motivation was bad, I'll forfeit that work. Fine, go, bye. I don't need it anymore. It's funny, I have a storage unit in Canton, Ohio. And I'm paying like $35, $40 a month for it. I don't like the idea that I'm paying that. I need to get stuff out of there and put it somewhere. But you know how it is when you have extra crap in your life? It's a small storage unit, but you have extra crap in your life. And I've often thought this. If my sister called me one day and said, Martin, you're not going to believe this. The storage unit blew up. There was a huge fire. Everything in it's destroyed. I would be like, I would smile. I'd be, I'm delivered of stuff that I don't even, not even sure what's there. I'm delivered of it. And I'm delivered of paying $40 a month. And I might get an insurance payment from the thing, the storage unit, for the value of my goods. It could be a win-win-win. Because here's the problem. When you sit down yourself and analyze your life, analyze your possessions, let's say, you're not objective. So I'd go through my stuff and I'm sure I have mementos from my childhood there. I have a little Howdy Doody lamp that I had. And I would probably go, oh, I can't get rid of this. I'll keep this. And then I look at a photo album, a picture, you know, obviously of pictures. And oh, there's my bicycle from my 1980 Transamerica trip. I can't get rid of that. So you become emotionally attached because you're not objective. And suddenly you're keeping 3/4 of the stuff. But if the stuff blew up, if someone else brought the fire, someone else who is objective blew it up, I'm like, great. I didn't need that stuff anyway because somehow I've been here in Florida for almost a year now and my stuff's been in Canton and I haven't needed one of those things in that storage unit. It's there. I'm here. The things that I need, I have with me. My precious sleeping bag, my little mat, my washer and dryer up here. Well, it's not mine, but I use it, right? I have my microphone. I need that. I have my computer. I need that. To talk to you, I have my camera on the phone, on the computer, right there. These are things I need. I have water out here. So what I'm telling you is take that to the dais of Christ when your work is tried and you don't know, there's so many things you're carrying around. When people lose weight, they lose like 10 pounds and then they can't believe they were carrying that. But when you're carrying it, you're so used to it, you don't feel it. But if you lose 10 pounds, then somebody hands you a 10-pound weight and said, this is what you were carrying around for 20 years. And you go, oh, wow, how did I ever do that? Likewise here, when this stuff is burned away from us, we're going to say, how did I ever carry that crap? Ah, and God's going to say, yeah, it feels good, doesn't it, to get rid of that? Oh my God, yes, it's like losing weight. It's like your storage unit blowing up. It's like losing 25 pounds. God is going to do you a favor at the dais of Christ. Here comes the fire. Yeah, baby, take me down. I'm going to open up to that fire. I am going to welcome it. And I wish it would come now, you know, but no, it's going to come then. Don't worry, it's going to come then. I got more to say on this. How much time do I have? I'm getting down there, not much, but don't forget the weight. That's just the negative part, but even the negative part's good. All your impurities are gone. Martin, but how can we have any impurities left if we're made immortal? I don't know. Don't ask difficult questions like that. I don't know everything. But it bothers me that I don't know the answer to this. Let me think about this for a second. Just give me a moment. We're already immortal. Oh. All right, I'll just take it as it stands. We're made immortal means we can't die anymore. That's all that means. You can't die anymore. But apparently, because we still have to stand before the dais, apparently immortal people can have some problems. There are some evil spiritual beings, like the dog that's barking right now, Holly, here, disturbing my show. There are evil spiritual beings who are immortal, but they still have problems, big problems, so they're going to be delivered. Satan is immortal. Satan is immortal, but he has big problems, and they're going to be seared out of him in the lake of fire. He's only one of three spiritual beings that are tormented alive in the lake of fire. Humans are not. This fire at the dais of Christ is figurative because it presents works as gold, silver, and wood, hay, stubble. So we're not going to be literally handing Christ a pile of sticks, or we're not going to be handing him a bar of gold. Look at this gold I brought for you. No, it's not going to be like gold, frankincense, and myrrh that we're presenting to Christ. It's going to be our work. So therefore, the whole passage is figurative, but it stands for something real, and Paul tells us what it stands for. Our work will be on display, and those things that we don't want in our lives that are going to hinder our enjoyment of eternity with God will be removed. So you don't have to worry about this. Don't have to have any pangs about it. You don't have to lose sleep over it. You can welcome it. That's us. I got more to say on this, and you better believe I'm going to say it. We cannot fear God. That's just do not fear God. You fear falling into the hands of man, yes, always, but do not ever fear falling into the hands of God. He is our, not only our creator, but he's our father. And Jesus Christ, come on, he's not only our savior, but he's our justifier. He's the last one in the world that would condemn you. He justifies you.